it. I do at home all the time, and now I get to share it with you ladies in hopes and pray that you get to, you'll be excited to share it with your families when you get home. So why don't we go ahead and pray? Precious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for this day, for this opportunity, for these ladies that are here this morning, Father, wanting to know how they can better serve our families by serving you, Lord. So help us, Lord. Show us this morning exactly what we need. Help us to be excited, Lord, and help us to remember, Lord, that in all that we do, in the serving that we do, it's an act of worship. And if we look at our daily task that day, what a blessing it would be for everybody. So, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning and help us to remember what we learned here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so our topic this morning is choices, of course, on family dinners. And how I wanted to start this is basically family dinners is actually an enormous part of ministering to our family. It is a time of day when each member of your family is home. And they bring with them the emotions of the day and all its fullness or lack of it. How many of you have teenagers? Yes. So there's emotions going crazy there, isn't there? Yeah. So whatever they went through and experienced through their day, you will receive the final outcome. That's just a calling for moms. And it's just something that, you know what, we can accept and to remember that the Lord placed us there to be moms for a reason. And so we kind of handle everything, don't we? So from the emotional to running around, everything that goes on in the home, it lies with us. If your husband has had a challenging day, what he comes home to will shift that challenge into comfort, into peace, or just a time to relax. Or depending on what he finds at home, can actually add to his challenging day if I did not take the time to sit at the Lord's feet to prepare me for my day. So how many of you are married here? Good. So we know what it's like when our husbands come home and they've had a full day. And sometimes they just want to come home and do nothing. So if we allow the Lord to work in our hearts and to say, you know what, let's let him relax. And really, we set the tone. And so we can help him just once he gets home, leave everything at work and just have him relax when he enters those doors. And our children also have much to deal with during their day. I think especially teenagers. Again, I have a teenager. I have a 16-year-old. And she's so busy. We're always running around, going here and there, and so much to do. But, you know, the atmosphere that they walk into at home will often determine the rest of the evening. So just the smell of entering a room can shift a mood. That's why it's so important as wives, as moms, to spend a little more time on family dinners. This is our responsibility and greatest call of ministry, which is our family. Do we agree? Yes. And I think it's, you know, there's so much going on around us that we really, really need to focus on this. So, how can we minister to our families through family dinners? This morning, we will cover three sections. Number one is how to be economical, if you want to write that down. And leave space in between so you can jot down notes. Okay, number two is how to cook healthy. And finally, number three, how we can be creative. But first, I can't emphasize enough of your quiet time with the Lord. It is so important to spend time at his feet. After all, he is the one caring for us. Before we can set the tone of our homes for our families to come home to, it's a must that we allow the Lord to set the tone of our heart. When we do, we'll find that everything falls into place and our time has not been wasted. Let's allow God to take care of us first. Then we can take care of our families the way God would have us to. And now I know everybody's schedule is different. There are working moms out there. And that might be a little more challenging for you if you are a working mom. But it's definitely something to purpose to do when it comes to the family. Because really, they're the most important ministry that the Lord has entrusted us with. So how can we go about doing this? Psalms 95, 6-7 says, "Come, let us worship the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over and the sheep under his care. And if he cares that much for us, how much more should we live out that example that the Lord set for us and live it out before our families? So now, how can we minister to our family? These are the three sections that we're going to practice. Now, remember, the most important part of this also is that for them to be successful, we need to invest our time. We really need to factor that in. Everybody's so busy. Again, so much going on, being pulled in every direction. We really need to set aside that time, whatever part of the day that is. Just purpose it. And, you know, ask the Lord. Seek the Lord and say, Lord, I really want to do this for my family. How can I do this? How can I squeeze more time into my day? And you know what? He'll be faithful to answer you because it's for our families. So let's move on to our first section, and which is how to be economical. Number one, keep your eyes on weekly ads. Check those local stores and compare prices. Now, usually, I live here in Riverside, and usually the ads come Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and they come in bundles. And you know what? Take the time to start comparing your prices. Sometimes you might have to make two or three stops at different stores, but you know what? If the price is really cheap, I think it'd be worth going to those three different stores. Number two, coupons. Most stores, now, all the stores take the manufacturer coupons, but a lot of stores also offer the in-store coupons. So those two together, you can actually use. And so you may, you know, pay very little amount, if that, you know, if you use those two coupons together. Number three, rebates. If you use the store's offered product with the rebate, send it in. Now, of course, you have to factor in, okay, well, if the rebate is 50 cents and the stamp is 48 cents, it's probably not worth your time and effort. But if you're planning to, let's say, purchase a few items that they have a rebate on, put them all in one, you know, list. And that way, I think that would make it worth it. So number four, think ahead. There is always, always a gathering going on. There's birthdays, there's parties, there's special occasions, and last-minute events. Think ahead. Start thinking in your mind, because you know what's coming up. You know, usually there's your daughter's banquet, you know, sports banquet, something going on. Number five, keep up with seasonal items and holidays. And I think about, like, usually for Christmas, there's a lot of dessert items for sale, right? So, like cake mixes, bottled or canned, even turkey on those holiday seasons. Remember to check the expiration dates. Usually, if you can shelf or freeze it, it can last from 6 to 12 months. So it would be economical if you purchase it now and use it later. Just make sure you will use it, or maybe give it to someone who can use it. No, wait, don't waste, don't buy any item just because you're getting a good deal on it. And then, you know, it sits there and it goes bad and you're not, you kind of just defeated the purpose. So you don't want to waste, you want to be a good steward. Also, don't forget, very important, is to stay within your budget. We really need to stay within our budget, and you know what, to learn to be creative in putting together menus that would accommodate that budget. So the advantage of staying current with this list is to save and not be pressured when something comes up. Now, if your pantry or if your cabinet is well-stocked, you can save unnecessary trips to the store for the last-minute surprises. So like, again, your daughter has a birthday party to go to. Maybe she's required to bring a dessert or a dish. Well, instead, if by looking into your cabinet or pantry, you can put something together, never leaving the house, and giving more time for other things. So it also simplifies putting a menu together for everyday dinners. So does that help? Does that make sense? That's very important because there's so many parties. There's always something going on. So if you can save in that area, you know, because you went into your cabinet or your pantry and say, oh, I can just put that together real quick versus going out into the store and paying, like, let's say, what's the minimum cost of a cake? $15 maybe on sale with a coupon? Well, if you bought cake mixes, I mean, right now, like Vons, they're having a sale for, I think if you buy 10, it's 79 cents each. So $7.90 for 10 boxes of cake. Now, that has a long life shelf. That has about a year's life shelf. So, well, how many birthdays is going to take place during that year? You know, or maybe you just want dessert on, you know, on a Sunday. At least you have it, and it's something that you can work with together with your kids, with your family. So our second section is how to cook healthy. This was a challenge for me because I like to use butter, all the fattening stuff, but it did challenge me to put something together. I'm still using heavy cream and butter, but we can substitute. So you guys are gonna have to work according to your diet, I guess is the best way to say it. So number one, I love using fresh ingredients, vegetables, fruits. Again, pay attention to those seasonal items because they're very cost effective. Number two, use fresh herbs more than dry. Now, it's nice to have those dry herbs in your pantry, but there is something about the fresh herbs that really, really brings out the flavor of your food. And number three, if you can, freeze those seasonal fruits and vegetables yourself. This way, you know there's no preservatives in them. There are many websites that offer directions on how to preserve your food, how to freeze them yourself. And one of the things I really love is like corn. Corn is in season right now. Sweet white corn is very sweet. And what I do, I've been practicing this for many years now. What I do is clean them up, take them off the husk, and you know, just break them in half, put them in a Ziploc bag, and freeze them. And you know what? They last up to a year. And during the year when they're not in season, I have them at hand. And I think they're right now they're like $5 for $1. So, I mean, right there, you could, two nights, there's four of us in our family. So, two servings right there of corn that cost 50 cents each serving. So, something to really think about. Number four, how about canning or even bottling your own food? It's available with minimum ingredients. This is something I haven't quite done. I think the most I've worked with bottling is salsa. And that's about it. But you know what? There's many websites, again, that you can go on to, and it would help you to be able to, you know, this could become a hobby. This is a good way to be able to give gifts, you know, especially with the economy right now. You know, bottle up some of your, you know, specialties. And number five, grilling. I love grilling. This is like my favorite way to cook. It brings out the natural sugars on your fresh vegetables and fruits. And a whole meal can be completed on the grill. With vegetables, all you have to do, like I love sweet peppers, the onions, all you have to do is just add a little bit of olive oil. I like to use sea salt and add pepper, toss it, just put it on the grill, just for a few minutes, and you're done. Now, like let's say you wanted to do a dessert. You can get like pineapple or peaches and just put it directly on the grill. Again, it's going to release that natural sugar, and you can just serve it with ice cream. Ice cream or a little angel food cake or pound cake, depending on, you know, your diet again. So now everybody has the green handout, right? Let's go ahead and pull that out. We're going to talk about it for just a little bit. Let's turn to the side where it says seasonal fruits and vegetables and herbs. And this right here, I went online. The resources is just crazy out there. And this is just to give you an idea of seasonal fruits and vegetables that, you know what, if you want to freeze any of these, I would definitely look into websites that show you how to do that. But again, like one of my things is I love berries. I love strawberries. You can freeze those. You can freeze pineapple. You can even freeze banana and then make chocolate-covered bananas for later. So just to give you ideas, again, so you can utilize some of these items during the year when they're not in season. Now, like halfway down the page where it says some herbs we are most familiar with. And if you notice, in parentheses, I have A and C, iron. I got this, again, from the web, from online. And these are a list of some of the vitamins that these herbs have, especially when they're fresh. So if you're more health conscious, those are things that you can look into. We have the access. It's so easy to get into. So ladies, I encourage each one of you to go online for, you know, maybe there's a vegetable or fruit here that's not listed. See what you can do with it. See what, go online, see what they offer. You know, the recipes or even if you just want to find, again, vitamins that it contains. So that way you can, you know what, you'll be able to know exactly what you're putting into your families. So something, again, you might want to think about is freezing the fruits, the seasonal fruits and vegetables. And, you know, the whole thing is just to go online and to see how the best way you can preserve them. And so this way you know that when, instead of buying what the manufacturers offer you, when you freeze it yourself, you know exactly what you're putting into it or not. So there's no preservatives added to your food. Does that make sense so far? Okay, good. So this is a good way to be economical, a good way to cook healthy, using off-season produce available to you because you've taken the time to freeze them. And it's a good way to be creative in creating your own recipes because now this is the only time I'll encourage you to play with your food. You know, when you find a recipe you like and maybe, well, that doesn't seem so healthy, so how else can we go about making it a little more healthy? So now the point is to be able to monitor what we feed our families, and the less chemicals and preservatives, the better. We will not be able to completely take those things away, but we can minimize it just by taking time to be aware and careful. So for the most part, moms, we really have the final say of what to feed our families. So now, this morning, I'm going to go ahead and do a demo for you. And this is just the basic cream sauce. I'm sure a lot of you also might even have your own recipe. But this is just something that, that my family likes to eat. And let me get my recipe here. Now, this morning, I'm using heavy cream. But if you look on the other side of the page of that handout, you can actually use whipping cream, not the whipped topping that you find in the frozen section, not that one. This is actually in the dairy section next to the creamers and the milk. Or you can use half and half. And again, you're just going to have to modify it to how you want, how healthy you want it, how creamy you want it to taste. This morning, I'm going to use heavy cream because I just love the taste, the richness of it. Let's see here. First, make sure this is on. We're going to add. Now, this morning, because there's the recipe I gave you should be a serving for 4 to 6 people. I'm not really going to follow that guideline exactly because there's so much more of you, and I wanted to be able to give each one of you a sample. So, as I'm preparing this demo for the cream sauce, I have ladies back there who are so great, and they're going to pass out a sample for you of strawberry shortcake. And the reason, and you're wondering why I'm going to give you strawberry shortcake, is because how I'm going to tie it in is with this heavy cream. How many of you are familiar with using heavy cream as a frosting? Oh, just one. Okay, good. Well, good. This is very beneficial for me then. Okay, heavy cream or whipping cream. It's like the next step down to heavy cream. If you want to cut 10 calories, that's the difference between heavy cream and whipping cream. And what you do is you put this in a mixer, let it just whip for maybe like 3 minutes, and when you see it starts to get frothy, add your sugar. Add your powdered sugar. It has to be powdered sugar. Now you determine how sweet you want it. And I made a batch that was way, way too sweet last night. But hopefully you don't get that one this morning. And they're passing it around, so please enjoy. And what we're going to do is that same heavy cream I'm going to go ahead and use in this cream sauce. So I'm just going to add my olive oil. It looks a lot, but it's really not. There's a lot more of you here, so I'm going to go ahead and put all this in here. And then I'm going to add my onions. It's going to start smelling in here, ladies. I hope you're hungry, because it always tastes better when you're hungry. Oops. So we're just sautéing, and if you notice on your list, on your recipe there, I put down to put, cooked 3 minutes. And what you want to do is actually just let it sweat out. And I actually like this to caramelize. So for the sake of time, I'm just going to go through it quickly, hopefully. And make sure you keep mixing, too, because this, with the cream, it burns real fast. So just keep mixing. And then, so we have our onions. We're going to go ahead and add our garlic, which I love garlic. How many of you like to use onions and garlic together? Oh, good. I'm telling you, can't go wrong with that. So we're sauteing. Everybody have a napkin? Yeah, it's very sweet too. Well, not too sweet. It's just syrupy. Okay. So we're cooking. Now I'm going to go ahead and add my tomatoes. And you know what, ladies? You can actually use any tomatoes. I use, like today I'm using the grape tomatoes or the cherry tomatoes. There's really no difference. The only reason I use the smaller ones is because I like to see them pop, or I like to poke them while they're cooking. It's just part of playing with your food, I guess. And you know what I do? And what I'm using today is I put down, you can use like basil or Italian parsley. Today I'm using Italian parsley. And I like to actually use the stem part. A lot of people like to throw them out, but I don't recommend you. I don't like to waste. So I would put that in there also and let it just cook down a little bit with your onions, your garlic, and your tomatoes. And then that way the stems get softer. It gives you, you're giving it more time to cook. So just let it saute. And then at this time you can also add your butter. And I'm adding a whole stick, again, because there's a lot of you here and I want all of you to be able to taste this sample. So, but you don't need to add that much butter. Again, you're gonna have to modify it according to your family size. And you know what? I also like to use the real butter. There's just something about it that just brings out the flavor. And I heard that like margarine or that spread is like one step away from plastic. I don't know how true that is, but just the thought of that just keeps me away from it. So, okay, so we have our butter melting now. And once our butter's melted, we can go ahead and add our cream. So remember, ladies, you determine the amount of salt you put in here also. I put unsalted butter in here because in just a few minutes, I'm going to go ahead and add Parmesan cheese. And Parmesan cheese has a lot of salt. So that's something to remember when you're cooking also. So I'm going to go ahead and add my heavy cream. And again, I'm eyeballing this. So you're going to have to adjust. Try out, you know, when you hopefully you'll go home and try this recipe yourself. And you might want to add more cream. You might want to take away more cream. So it's completely up to you. However your family enjoys it. Okay. And now you're probably wondering why I have milk here. But the reason for the milk is to actually cut down on the cream and to thin out the cheese. So I'm going to add this also. And you can add, remember, you can always add two, but you can't take away. So when you're cooking, remember that. So we'll just let, you guys okay? So does everybody understand how to make the frosting? Yeah, instead of buying the little tubs, and, you know, there's so much preservatives in there. And I use them sometimes, too. I have to say I like them, but not all the time. If you can make it yourself, because when you do your heavy cream, you can also add a little bit of powdered cocoa powder, and that way it's a little, that hint of chocolate. You can even add cinnamon. So, again, play with your food. Have your kids come in the kitchen with you and see, you know, well, I don't want that. I know they're going to tell you, I don't want to put that in there, but then ask them what they might want to try. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is go ahead and add my cheese. And this, the cheese will actually thicken it. And so that's why I have the milk on reserve. So that way, if it gets too thick, then you can thin it out with the milk. And now I can go ahead and add also. And while that's cooking, add a little more Italian parsley. And don't forget to keep some aside. I should have that on the recipe. Keep some aside so that way you can have some for garnish, just for presentation, to make it look pretty. But the fresh parsley is actually, or the basil, the two that I like to use, it's really the flavor comes out when you use the fresh herbs. So now to the right, it says how to serve. Everybody knows how to grill, right? It's pretty simple. You can just, you know, do your version of grilled chicken. You can serve it, put this over it, or shrimp and scallops. That's one of my favorites. It's the seafood version of it. And what I do is, like, as it simmers, like right now it's simmering, this is the time when I would add the shrimp and the scallops, or you can even add, like, cubed salmon. And just keep your eyes open for the color. That's how you're going to know it's cooked. When it starts to turn a little pink or opaque in color, that's how you know it's cooked. You don't want to overcook seafood, because then for those of you who have cooked seafood before, it gets rubbery. I mean, it'll still taste good. It just takes a little bit longer to chew. So now my sauce is starting to thicken, and I can go ahead and add a little more milk. And I hope this is open. Okay. And then you can add your pepper. I love grating the pepper, because it just releases the flavor. It's like you're crushing, because you're crushing the pepper is what you're doing. So, and again, it's really up to you on how much you want. That is the recipe I gave you, is just a guideline. And now this also would be a good thing to serve over vegetables, whether you steam them or even fresh vegetables like broccoli. You don't have to really cook them, because a lot of, like, my family likes to eat raw vegetables. So this could be a dip on the side. And another fun thing, too, is like a fondue dip. Put it on the side. Put it in a bowl or in a warmer, and have cubed bread. Just little pieces of things that they like. And they can, you know, set it on the table, and they can, you know, they're going to go ahead and serve this to you ladies, too. And they're going to, they can just pick whatever favorite they want, you know, vegetables and all that fun stuff. So, and then this also is good just over pasta. So it's up to you what you want to do with this recipe. I would definitely encourage you to try different, you know, meat options. Just try anything. That's the whole point, is to be creative, right? So just to make this recipe your own, and just have fun with it. And again, you know, if your kids are interested, tell them to come on down. So that's done. And if I could have one of you ladies come grab this. Hi. Sure.
My son is lactose intolerant. Mm-hmm.
You know, oops, I give this to you. Thanks. Have you tried soy? I'm not too certain. Like, I love drinking soy milk. So that's something you could try. Again, it's just one of those things you're going to have to experiment with. And, you know, I don't see why. Oh, but then the cheese. I mean, you know what? It's just a matter of playing with the food. You know, the only thing I know about tofu is that whatever you put it in, it actually soaks in the taste of it. Now I've heard of yogurt, like plain yogurt, but I think that's dairy also, is it not? Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that. But, you know, that's definitely something that I would encourage you to look online. And, you know, I think maybe soy milk might work, if you like soy milk.
I use rice milk.
Okay, I would try that. Definitely try that. And then try a substitute, some kind of, like, I don't know what a substitute for cheese would be. So I'm going to have to think about that one. Oh. Oh. Well, you know what? As soon as I'm hoping the Lord will show me something this morning, maybe I can share it with you. Okay. So, so does that seem simple enough, that cream sauce, that recipe? Good. So, again, it's just a matter of trying different things. Okay, so let's go ahead and get back to our message here. And now we're going to go ahead and move into our third and final section. And this is on how to be creative. So number one is a dinner table setup. And as you can tell, I have a couple of setups here that the ladies helped me with. And I put down, you know, basically it's more than just plates, glasses, and cutlery. So I encourage you ladies to switch it up. Everything I have on this table, I did not have to buy because I had them sitting around the house. Of course, I had to buy them at one time. But I'm saying I didn't have to go out and buy them just for today. So how about serving your food in something they don't expect? How about like mini buckets? These right here. Like I asked my son what he thought about eating out of this. We've actually done it before, but he was much younger, so he doesn't remember. He said that would be a lot of fun, like French fries. That's not really healthy, but you know, you can just think about putting like their meat in here. Like there's actually a restaurant where they serve you like chicken, steak, shrimp in here, and then on a separate plate they have all you can eat rice and beans. So, oh yeah, that's the one. So that's one of the. It's just a matter of getting ideas from different places. You know, looking at how other families do it. You know, it can trigger your imagination. So how about, like, maybe, I know that a lot of stores sell those leaves now, whether they're banana leaves, elephant ears, you might even have them laying around in your yard, you have a plant. Clean them up. Wipe them down, clean them up, and serve, you know, their meal on that. It's just something different to look at. It's like, oh, wow, that's really neat. So it kind of gets them involved and gets them excited. And so, or how about try serving them on your nicer dinnerware or tiers like this. This is so simple. I think I paid like $7 for this years ago. The plates, I think I paid like 60 cents a piece because they're in clearance at Target. So it's just a matter of, you know, in your mind, putting things together. And just even by the colors, if you can tell, did it not draw your eyes to this because it's very bright, very colorful. So it's just being creative and, you know, again, colors open up their eyes. Or how about assigning a night to each child? That's a lot of fun. I do that with my kids. And so one night you can have hearts and flowers. The next could be on sports and mini trucks, and you can tell the blue version and the red and white is for boys. And I have, my son loves Speed Racer. He watches the cartoons all the time. And so there's little trays there that we got, I think it was an offer on a cereal box. So we paid for postage. So, and then putting crayons or markers, and do you see the placemats on the table here, the red, or I have teal over there. And you know, it's just a matter of like even doodling at the dinner table. I know this doesn't sound very traditional, but you know, trying to just break up the routine to get them involved, pull them in. That's the point. So, how about, and you know what, by doing something like this, you don't have to do it every day. That's a lot of work. But for them, just a special night, a night maybe they're not even expecting, you know, that would be something, that would be more of a treat for them. Even just acknowledging like, oh, you got a good grade today, you know, so set up something for them when you have time. And so the whole point, again, is getting the family involved and even putting a menu together, involve them in putting a menu. Because sometimes the kids are finicky when it comes to food. So we'll say, you know what, well, what would you like to eat? And make sure that all the families, each member of the family tries it. We want to definitely be encouraging. So during dinner, ask them why they chose those items on the table. If they don't have a story, it's an opportunity to use their imagination and bring life to those items, whether they're like little trucks or pictures, anything. Again, just to encourage being creative. Number three, how about telling stories or jokes? And it's a great way to bring laughter to the table, and even if it means that the jokes are repeated. So you would be amazed at the other jokes or stories that come from them. Another suggestion is, how about relocation? Have your dinner outdoors. I know a lot of people now, definitely because of the season, you know, summer's coming up, we like to go outside and dinner on the patio. Or how about even just changing rooms so you can change the mood, you know, so it's not a habit. Or how about having a picnic somewhere whether it's, you know, on the grass or in one of your kids' rooms, it's just a matter of, you know what, asking the kids, well, what would they like to see? What would they like to do? So, and this really, number five, it leads us to hospitality. So invite, how about inviting families and friends? And what happens is this allows others to see in your home and how you spend time together in hopes that they will be encouraged to try it within their families. So, and on over there to my left, to your right, you see the fluorescent green and fluorescent pink. I have some pictures of things that I've done with my family. So I encourage you ladies, before you leave, to look at those. Like, how many of you have seen, like, candy stations? Those are becoming real popular now at weddings. And, like, my daughter just turned 16. She turned 16 last year. So what we did was we converted a whole tent and put up jars, different apothecary jars, just different colors, filled it up with candy. And you know what? These are candy that's just laying around your house. But if you put them in something different, their eyes just are like, oh, my gosh. Like, all of a sudden, they want it. It's been sitting there for months. But now, all of a sudden, they want it because you put it in something different, you know? So, again, I encourage you to look at those. And one of the things we've done also is that, like, my daughter just had a prom. And, you know, it gets really expensive to go out to dinner, to buy the prom tickets. And then you got to make sure they have a ride up there. And, of course, they can't just go in a regular car, right? So what we did was, thankfully, all this was within our family. We have a cousin who has a hot rod, so he gave us a really good deal. But one of the things we did was we have a front courtyard, and so we converted that into like a little outdoor cafe. Instead of going out to dinner paying at least $100, because you want to impress people, right? So we went ahead and set it up like an outdoor cafe. And last year, we actually had my son, who is now 9, he was the waiter. He had his bow tie, and he served his sister. So it's just a matter of, you know what, let's get them excited. You know, how can they be excited if we're not excited? So it's a matter of, you know what, how much effort do we want to put into our kids, and how much can they enjoy this? It's the plan is to in hopes that they take it with them when they grow up, when they have their own families. So now the most important, really, part of this class is number 7 is devotion. It is so important. As much as possible, I know because of time, because schedule, it's not always possible to be able to sit down together and have a meal together. But as much as possible, after meals together, family devotion is a must. This is a good place for you, for us as parents, to know the growth of each child in our family spiritually. It's also an awesome place for us parents to be reminded that of that childlike quality that we're supposed to have, that faith. So it is important. It's an important way to instill in our children how God should be the center of our family and how much fun He is. And when we're excited over something small like this, they're going to be excited. And they're going to see, you know what? The Lord is our guest. He's our guest of honor. And our kids need to grow up understanding that, and that they need to have a grateful heart. So God should be the center, again, He should be the center of our family, and how much fun He is, and allows us to enjoy what He's blessed us with. Exercise a grateful heart all the time. This is something that parents should live out for their children to see. No matter what situation we're going through, no matter what circumstance, we are to be thankful. It is just an awesome way to glorify the Lord. And we want our kids to be glorifying the Lord as they grow up. So being creative, and ladies, again, I encourage you to look at these. Being creative is where being economical and cooking healthy ties in together. I believe ministering to our families first opens the door to hospitality, which also becomes a powerful ministry. It seeks to serve God. By serving others, it makes what mine yours, takes no thought of reward or return. The joy of company is reward enough. It offers freedom, enabling you to exercise your gifts and creativity to the fullest, meeting a need for others, and glorifying God through it all, in hopes that when your children grow, again, it is something they continue with their own families. So let's remember what 2 Peter 1, 5-7 tells us. So make every effort to apply these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance, and patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians, and finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. Now, isn't that the point? It's to minister first within our families and then those outside of our families. And you know what? When we practice these practical things at home, it becomes so much a part of our nature that when people do come knocking on the door, they feel right at home. They feel like, oh, I'm welcome. You know, it's one of those things like, don't keep people right there in the front. Let them in. Open the door and let them in. And you know what? If it means just offering them water, hey, that's hospitality right there, and it brings honor to the Lord. So I hope that you're all, was that easy to understand? Yeah, so this is just to trigger your imagination. Be creative. Again, colors can do this. And seeing color schemes, which I have color schemes up there, and just ideas for parties, cakes. Feel free to look over there as we leave, because we actually have 4 minutes left. So why don't we go ahead and pray? And if you have any questions, ladies, please come up and talk to me. I'll be more than happy to help you with, you know, what I can. So let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Once again, Lord, thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for each lady here, Father God. And I pray, Father, you would bring to memory later what they've learned and help them to apply it within their own families and help them to remember, Lord, that every act that we do, every word we say, could be an act of worship towards you. So, Lord, help us to have a heart of gratitude, a heart to serve, and a heart that will ultimately, Lord, bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies. So please feel free to go up here and look. Sure. The frosting. Oh, okay. It's heavy cream. And again, if you want to cut down on calories, not a whole lot, use whipping cream. This is up, you know, where the half and half is located in the dairy section. All it is put it in your mixer, KitchenAid, and let it whip for maybe 2-3 minutes. When it starts to get frothy, add your powdered sugar. And remember, you can always add two. You just can't take away. So add a little bit at a time. If you need to taste it, do that. And then just let it whip up for another maybe 5 minutes. And you'll know it's done when it's real, like, cloudy looking. It's frothy. It's like cotton almost. And then you know what? That's my favorite frosting.
Did you just add the strawberries to that then?
The strawberries, you can get the glaze in the store also. That's what I did. I got the glaze from the store, and they're usually next to the strawberries. The strawberries are in season right now, so they're usually offering that next to, like, the pound cake or the angel food cake. It's right there. You just slice it up and add the glaze, and that's it. And that's my version of the poke cake. You know how you put Jell-O inside the cake and you poke holes into it after it's cooled down? That's all it is. The difference is just the heavy cream. No, I added the glaze, to the strawberries. And the strawberries went on top of the heavy cream. So. Thank you, ladies, so much. Enjoy the rest of the message.